Well, folks, the protests that have broken out at America's college campuses don't look like they're going to stop anytime soon, at least not in the blue states, where all of the administrators and the government have decided to basically allow these puerile children who are pro-terrorist to continue their activities ad infinitum. Why? Well, because they must be humored. NBC reporter Stephanie Gosk, she says that the protesters at Columbia University, for example, are not going anywhere, despite the fact that the semester is coming to an end pretty soon.
You know, Columbia University extended the deadline for the tent encampment here by 48 hours, but that deadline runs out tonight at midnight. And the students I've spoken with here say they aren't going anywhere. As you mentioned, tension around the country is growing. It's spreading. It's leading to dramatic confrontations with police and dozens of arrests.
Well, as it turned out, the deadline for that deal passed and nothing happened because it turns out that the administrators are a bunch of cowards. They're running scared from their own faculty. They're running scared from themselves because they all agree with these students, obviously, and they are running scared from these students. And all of this raises a question. The students who are doing this sort of stuff, 18, 19, 20-year-old students who are paying $80,000 a year or on scholarship to major in a useless field at a place like Columbia University, these are some of the richest, most privileged people in the history of the world by any stretch of the imagination. And yet there they are protesting, not just Israel, of course, not just in favor of actual honest-to-God terror groups, but against America. Because let's be real about what these people are like and what these people don't like. The thing they really don't like most of all is America and the West that has given them extraordinary levels of privilege. They hate that West. They think that that West is the source of victimization. They think that West is exploitative, and they seek to tear it down. It's the only reason, as I've been saying for legitimately years at this point, that you would see something like Queers for Palestine, which is inherently self-contradictory. It makes absolutely no sense. You would not see drag queen story hours in favor of Hamas, but you do. And the only reason is because you have a coalition of people who believe that the entire system is itself evil and wrong and corrupt. So who are these kids who make up the system? Well, today we have case 1A. That is a person named Kaimani James. So Kaimani James is a student at Columbia University, not just a student at Columbia University, Kaimani James, who says that he goes by he, she, they. Kaimani James is one of the organizers of this pro-Hamas protest. In fact, was directly negotiating with the leadership of Columbia. Now, here is the thing. You don't have negotiations with students. The students pay their client to come to the university, but they're only a client under certain circumstances. Namely, they abide by the rules that apply to the clients in an establishment. When if you walk into a restaurant, you're a client of the restaurant. If you proceed to take off your pants and underwear, they're going to have you arrested. You have now violated the rules of the establishment. Well, these students are in no position to, quote unquote, bargain with the administration. They're not in a labor situation with the administration. They're not in any sort of forced relationship with the administration. So where exactly is the leverage point? The leverage point is simply the weakness of the administration. So here is Kaimani James announcing that he, she, they has had communications with the Columbia administration and has achieved concessions from the Columbia administration. Again, there's a large scale difference between the administrations at universities like Columbia and what's happening down at University of Florida, for example, where you're also seeing some pro-Hamas protesters, but they've all been issued with rules. And the rules are you can use free speech, but you can't violate the following statutes. You cannot trespass. If you do, if you violate these statutes, you will be thrown out of the university, which is the way that universities ought to treat protests. You're doing fine. You're in the free speech category until you're not. And when you're not, then you get arrested. But here is Kaimani James, obviously a person to be reckoned with at the Columbia University level.
This morning, Columbia University issued a written commitment to engage in further negotiations for at least 48 hours. This is a win for us. Our negotiation team has committed not to participate in a bargaining process so long as the university attempts to extract concessions by police or military force. After forcing students, the majority of whom are Palestinian, Black, Brown, and Jewish students, from marginalized backgrounds to wait in the cold overnight to find out if they would be attacked and arrested by the NYPD or National Guard, early this morning we won the concession that the university will not call law enforcement on our peaceful protest.
So, who are people like Kaimani James? Well, here's what we know about Kaimani James. This is a person who's been featured in the pages of the Boston Globe since his youth. Okay, so the Boston Globe actually ran a piece about Kaimani James in 2021, talking about this incredible activist. Quote, as a global pandemic raged last fall and battles over school reopening plans turned bitter, a 17-year-old high school senior named Kaimani James was sworn in as the student representative on Boston's school committee. From the confines of his bedroom, where he logged into marathon school committee meetings on Zoom and peppered Twitter with his sharp critiques and pointed questions, James became an unlikely force in Boston politics last winter as he advocated for the city's 50,000 students. Outspoken and relentless in his quest for answers, the teenager's direct approach at times contrasted starkly with the more cautious, guarded takes of his school committee elders, all of them political appointees who serve at the pleasure of the mayor. You know that expression defies the laws of physics? I defy the laws of politics, James said. I answer to the students and not to anyone else. Known for his scathing critiques of Boston schools, James is also a sterling example of the system's potential. A young black man raised by a single immigrant mother in a South Boston housing development, nurtured by teachers who recognized his potential, accepted by one of the city's best public high schools, and then by a prestigious Ivy League college, Columbia University. So in other words, the system worked to help a person from an impoverished background get ahead, and he proceeds to attack the system. Why? Because this is what makes you famous in America today as a young person. If you wish for attention, the best way to attain attention, if you're a young person at this point, is aggressive victimhood, an aggressive sense of aggrievement, even from a society that is helping you along at every step, that wants to see you succeed. And the best shield you have against a claim that you are not, in fact, being victimized, you are being helped, is your intersectionality. Because no matter how many times you say, the system has helped you get ahead, the system has helped you go from impoverished single mom background to Columbia University, you can say, but I am still a victim of that same system. Because after all, I am fill in the blank, black, gay, trans, Palestinian, queer, whatever term you want to use. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, can your savings weather another economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless and real estate can in fact crash as it did in 2008. During times of economic uncertainty or market volatility, investors tend to flock to gold as a safe haven asset. Its value tends to increase during turbulent times, providing a buffer against market downturns. This is why people are flocking to gold right now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Birch Gold understands navigating financial decisions can be daunting. That's why their dedicated in-house IRA department is there to guide you every step of the way. Birch Gold is committed to addressing your questions and concerns promptly. Their team is always ready to provide answers and clarity. Whether it's about fees, taxes on rollovers, or the timing of the process, they're here to ensure you feel valued and well-informed. Text Ben to 989898. Talk to one of Birch Gold's experts. Claim your free info kit on gold. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA and gold. The best part is, it's not going to cost you a penny out of pocket. Just ask all your questions. Text Ben to 989898 to get started. Text Ben to 989898 to talk to my friends over at Birch Gold. This entire Boston Globe piece, which again is about a 17-year-old, is about a person who has been cultivating professional victimhood for his entire teenage lifetime. There's a picture of him, for example, chanting with a crowd during a March for Our Lives rally in 2018. That was 3 years prior. So that's when he was 14, going to rallies and politically rallying. James ended up quitting that particular committee. Why? Because he was a victim. According to the Boston Globe, just a little later, quote, a high school senior resigned as Boston School Committee's student representative Thursday, saying administrators had silenced students' voices and that he has deep concerns about a nonprofit group that oversees the district-wide student council. Kaimani James, a senior at Boston Latin Academy, said he stepped down after concluding that the district's leaders, including administrators, staffers, and school board members, were racist and adultist in overlooking concerns by him and his fellow students, most of whom are Black and Latino. Another dozen students with similar complaints resigned from the Boston Student Advisory Council, according to a district-wide student government board, according to James. He said, I had no choice but to resign. I can't be part of a system that tells kids, oh, we're listening to you, but their actions are the complete antithesis. Okay, well, here's the thing about Kaimani James. Again, this is a person who has cultivated victimhood his entire lifetime, and you can see the apotheosis of this approach in a disciplinary hearing that was held with Kaimani James and the Columbia University administration. And I'm using him as an example because he's a stand-in for literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of idiot students the country over. So Kaimani James was called on the carpet by Columbia's administration a few months ago. Why? Because Kaimani James had suggested that he wanted to kill a Zionist. This is about a 6-minute clip. We're going to break it down here because it really is all the things. It's all the things. It is the entire mentality. I am a victim, therefore I get to be an aggressor. I have been helped by the American system, therefore America is evil. The people who have largely put me in a position of privilege and power are people who do not share my race, but white supremacy is the great threat to everything. Again, the system that gave this person prominence is the system that this person is now attacking. And he is an organizer at Columbia, pro-Hamas organizer at Columbia. There is a reason why. And a system that is too weak to give values to its children ends up being eaten by them. And that is exactly what we are watching right now. So here is Kaimani James. He live streamed a disciplinary hearing. So there's a disciplinary hearing going on his laptop here, and he's live streaming it to all of his friends over here. Here he is.
My name is Sasha Lakatoway. I'm one of the associate directors in the Center for Student Success and Intervention.
I'm Kaimani James. I use he, she, they pronouns. Zionists in my DM wanting to meet up and fight. I don't fight to injure or for there to be a winner or loser. I fight to kill. See y'all in New York, January 2024.
Mm-hmm. So that's specifically what we're going to be discussing today. Do you see why that's problematic in any way?
No.
Do you think that there's a serious weight in taking someone else's life?
I think there is a serious weight in taking someone's life. And at the same time, I think that taking someone's life in certain case scenarios is necessary and better for the overall world. And so I personally have never killed anyone. Thank the Lord that no one has put me in that position. Though when Hitler died, the world rejoiced. Everyone looks back at that time period and said that Hitler needed to die because he was exacting an immense amount of harm against the world. And so just like that, during the Haitian Revolution, Haitian slaves had to kill their masters in order to gain their independence. These were masters who were white supremacists. What is a Zionist? A white supremacist. And so let's be very clear here.
Okay, so here is the line of argument from this radical who has been pampered by the system. Boston Latin Academy, Boston Public School Board, Columbia University, and now has been adding on the various armorial protections of intersectionality in order to act as a shield against his own radicalism. I'm not being attacked because I'm wrong or terrible or pro-Hamas or promoting actual murder. I'm being attacked because I'm gay, trans, queer, non-binary, black, right? That's the shtick. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank for less than $20. But you know what $20 will get you? Well, from the cell phone company I use, Pure Talk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to Pure Talk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Making the switch is incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that actually shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on those fake news networks. Stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Head on over to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Right now, my listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, puretalk.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. puretalk.com/Shapiro. So this person put out a statement saying that he wanted to kill Zionists. Not going to come to fight. I'm going to come to kill. And then this person goes further and says that basically there have been justified deaths in history. Among the justified deaths, according to Kaimani James, are the deaths of Hitler and also apparently all the violence of the Haitian Revolution. Now, the Haitian Revolution, we should point out at this point, was the most violent uprising in the history of slave uprisings. About 75,000 white people died during the Haitian Revolution, including the mass killing of families. So there are a lot of problems with the actual activities of the Haitian revolutionaries, even if you agree with their cause, which I think everyone does. But he goes further. He then says that just like French white people deserve to be killed during the Haitian Revolution, just like Hitler deserved to die, because Hitler did deserve to die, so too do Zionists, who are in fact just white supremacists. Now, again, this is a nonsensical argument. Zionists as white supremacists makes zero sense. First of all, you are assuming under this rubric that every Jew is white, which is not true. Second, you are assuming that Jews fit within white in the intersectional hierarchy, which again is weird since if you're talking about historically victimized peoples, the Jews rank number one on the list, very, very high. You don't have to do comparative victimhood though for Jews because again, Jews also are disproportionately successful, which is why they're quote unquote white supremacists, right? The viewpoint here that is being promoted by Kaimani James is that because Jews are disproportionately successful both in the Middle East and in the United States, they are white supremacists. And calling for a Jewish state, which is what Zionism is, just that the Jews deserve a state, just like there are Christian states and Muslim states, that is a form of white supremacy, even though more than half of the Jews in Israel are brown. They're Mizrahim. They're from Arabic countries. In any case, Kaimani James then continues, saying, so basically he's making the case that every person who is for a Jewish state should be killed because they're like Hitler or like the white people who were killed during the Haitian Revolution.
Be very clear here. I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and start killing Zionists. What I'm saying is that if an individual who identifies as a Zionist threatens my physical safety in person, i.e. puts their hands on me, I am going to defend myself. And in that case scenario, it may come to a point where I don't know when to stop. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. There should not be Zionists anywhere. Zionists are Nazis.
For my identity as a Black queer woman in New York City, obviously, if I'm on the train and I'm sexually assaulted or harassed in some way, like, I may turn around and slap somebody, right? Doing and saying that versus saying that, you know, you fight to kill. And you made a comment earlier where you stated that you may not know your own strength behind why, or you may not have the resistance to stop, right? That is kind of like what I'm taking from what you were sharing, that it could get to that point.
Okay, both of them have taken a break, everyone. So
okay, so pause it there. So now Kaimani James turns to the camera and is talking to his friends about what he's just experienced. So first of all, the person interviewing him is a Black queer woman. Again, the intersectionality here is just like, it's so strong. And I understand what you're saying. I understand your feelings. Okay, first of all, this is a person who just said Zionists should die and do not deserve to exist. And said that to the administration of Colombia, who's treating him with kid gloves. And then having competitive intersectional bona fides fights. Well, as a Black queer woman, I understand what you're saying, that if someone put their hands on me, I might slap them. Like, what? But this is what happens when you have an entire system built to coddle aggressive victims. An entire system built to coddle aggressive victims. And it continues because Kaimani James is live streaming this to his friends. By the way, still on the campus as a student organizer. So were there any repercussions? Apparently not. Here's Kaimani James.
So these are two Black women. I just wanted to throw that out there. So I'm not too keen on going too, but these are two Black women in the meeting, just in case y'all couldn't tell already. But these are two Black women. The meeting's a joke. They definitely were hoping that I was going to walk back the I fight to kill. Your initial letter from your office mentioned that this meeting will determine if it needs to reach or go to a disciplinary hearing. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'll be being notified about in 24 to 48 hours.
That, and it can also be that we need additional information. All of our letters are standard. So it depends on kind of like everything that you disclosed to us today and what we discussed.
Right. Okay then. Well, thank you.
No problem.
A lot of people agree that Hitler needed to die in order for world order to move forward and in order to establish some inkling of world peace. And so if we can agree as a society, as a collective, that people, that person, some persons need to die if they have an ideology that results in the death of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions? If there are people like that who exist, shouldn't they die? Why would we want people who are supporters of genocide to live? I'm confused. Zionists along
okay, that's with the, that's all we need from this person. Along with all white supremacists need not to exist. That's how I conclude. Zionists along with all white supremacists need not to exist. So, lied to the administration. Right? That was just about a personal conflict if I might have with the Zionist, which means Jew, obviously. But all of them need to not exist. This person not only was accepted to Columbia, they knew all this beforehand. They knew all this beforehand. Kaimani James was accepted to Columbia after being called into a school committee meeting and saying, quote, "I hate white people" in 2021, and then ended up at Columbia. So when you wonder what's going wrong with the next generation, understand that people like Kaimani James have been pampered. They've been bred by an entire ideology that suggests that power lies in aggressive statements of victimhood that allow you to literally call for wiping entire groups of human beings off the planet Earth based on ideology. That's what these protesters are. That's what they are. And the reason I spend so much time with this person is because it's indicative of something broader and deeper. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, dudes, have you heard of Rose Sparks? A dual-action prescription merges the powerhouse ingredients found in generic Viagra and Cialis. They're called sildenafil and tadalafil into one formidable treatment. But it's not merely about what's inside them. It's about the mode of delivery. Rose Sparks leverages the benefits of sublingual administration, meaning the tablet dissolves under your tongue, which means that it allows for fast absorption directly into the bloodstream, bypassing the digestive system, which also means quicker onset of action, reducing the wait time typically associated with traditional pills. Moreover, tadalafil stays in your system up to 36 hours. With Rose Sparks, spontaneity could be back on the table. Connect with a provider at ro.co/Ben. See if Rose Sparks is right for you. That's ro.co/Ben. Again, that's ro.co/Ben. Compounded drugs are permitted to be prescribed under federal law, but are not FDA approved and do not undergo FDA safety, effectiveness, or manufacturing review. Only available if prescribed after an online consultation with a provider. Go check them out right now at ro.co/Ben. See what they can do for you. That's ro.co/Ben. Whenever people try to box in what's happening on these college campuses, they say, well, it's just about Hamas or it's just about Israel. No, it's not. It's about the West. Do you want the future of the West to look like this? Do you want it to look like a bunch of mewling children who have been pampered by the system, have been given every opportunity by the system, and then wish to tear that system down in the name of some sort of transgressive value cult? People with murderous intent toward people of other groups like whites and Jews? Does that seem like the kind of future you want to build here? And why precisely is the administration humoring all of this? Why is the administration humoring all of this? And the answer is the administration is humoring all this because the administration at a root level agrees with all of this. They do not like the system that they themselves are purveying. This is what happens when the revolutionaries end up running the system. The next revolutionaries eat them. The revolution always eats its own. Remember, every administrator, every college president in the country right now, these huge swaths of them, these are all people who came up during the 60s and 70s when all of the good classical liberals were thrown out and the wild leftists came in. And now they don't know what to do with the next generation of wild leftists. And so they're allowing the wild leftists to basically run the campus. So, for example, USC has now canceled its main commencement ceremony after protests and arrests. According to Axios, USC is the first known major university to cancel a graduation ceremony over the demonstrations, potentially opening the door for other schools with campus protests to follow suit. The main ceremony usually brings 65,000 people to USC, but they're freaked out because they are deeply afraid that many of their own students are going to cause trouble. Meanwhile, at Northwestern University, faculty, according to Guy Benson, are allowing people to miss classes to attend the Hamas Solidarity Rally encampment that the university has clearly stated violates policy and is not permitted. One class has actually been moved to the site of the illegal protest. And meanwhile, the authorities are arresting some people across the country, but certainly not enough. In red states, these things are not continuing because in red states, it turns out that the government is in fact stepping in and arresting people who are violating the law. And if they keep violating the law, they will keep getting arrested. It is only in blue states where they continue to foster flag-burning, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, anti-Western radicals taking over these campuses. And then they negotiate with them. And here's the thing. Joe Biden is going to continue to allow all of this to happen. So Republicans have been calling for a cut to federal funding for universities that allow for the violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which is, in fact, the proper response by the federal government to universities violating federal law. Now, again, you want to argue with the content of the Civil Rights Act with regard to what sort of speech is protected on campus and all the rest? Those are arguments I can hear. You want to argue that it doesn't apply to Jews, but it does apply to every other group? Now, I think that you are a hypocrite and a liar. So Joe Biden is not going to cut funding. Why? Because he's attempting to buy off all these young voters. He wants their votes. He wants Kaimani James to vote for him. And all he's going to have to do is keep bending over. He's going to have to keep bending over backwards for Kaimani James and the rest. Because they have no endpoint. There is no point at which the revolution is actually achieved. According to Politico, there are a few bars that you have to pass in order to get the federal funding out of these universities. First, an investigation from the Education Department's Office for Civil Rights. That can take a while, but there's no reason it has to take a while. Also, anti-Semitism has not been defined under civil rights law in the same way that, for example, anti-Black activity has. But if you are shouting about the Yehud, that's a pretty good indicator that anti-Semitism is being engaged in. Again, an environment of anti-Semitism has clearly been created on campuses like Columbia University. And Joe Biden has refused to even consider the possibility about pulling funds. The White House say they're closely monitoring the campus protests unfolding. Bates says, while every American, this is Andrew Bates, campus, the spokesperson for the White House, while every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students in the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. They have no place on any college campus or anywhere in the United States of America. Yeah, but you're not doing anything about it, I noticed. And the reason they're not doing anything about it, they want the votes. They want the radicals. Donald Trump is right about this. Donald Trump says, listen, people all over the world are laughing at us. And that is correct. Joe Biden is a weakling. He can't even stop these screaming teenagers from intimidating Jewish students on campus and waving Hamas flags. Here's President Trump correctly calling out the Biden administration.
This courthouse is locked down. There's not a person within five blocks. They have more police here than, and I call them New York's finest because that's what they are. And they don't want to be doing this either. They'd like to be straightening out conditions, and they'd like to be at the colleges and making sure that they don't have what's happening, because what's happening at the colleges is a disgrace. All over the world, people are laughing at us. This is the worst run country right now, probably anywhere, just about. You don't get much worse.
Okay, and then Trump went on to say that Joe Biden made a huge deal out of Charlottesville, which he did. He said Charlottesville was nothing compared to this. By the way, he's right. Statistically speaking, he is correct. You're talking about tens of thousands of students all across the country who are engaged in pro-Hamas rallies, waving Hezbollah and Hamas flags, as opposed to a couple of hundred morons at the Unite the Rally, Unite the Right Rally. That was the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in 2017. Get to more on this in just a moment. First, the NBA playoffs are heating up. There's no shortage of high stakes of basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. If you want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley, you can now find Community Plays under the Promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every week. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance, so your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you've got a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you. The rest of your entry will stay live. Producer Jake, he's been loving Prize Picks. He likes the easy-to-use interface. He's been getting in on the NBA playoff action. Download that Prize Pick apps today. Use code BEN for a first deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Use code BEN on the Prize Picks app for a first deposit match up to $100. Lots of action this time of year. Use code BEN over at Prize Picks app and get that first deposit match up to $100. Trump put out a statement on Truth Social saying crooked Joe Biden would say constantly that he ran because of Charlottesville. Well, if that's the case, he's done a really terrible job, because Charlottesville is like a peanut compared to the riots and anti-Israel protests happening all over our country right now. And it's Crooked Joe's fault, because he sends the wrong message every single time. The fact is that Crooked Joe Biden hates Israel and hates the Jewish people. The problem is that he hates the Palestinians even more, and he just doesn't know what to do. Well, that last part is discombobulated. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. What is clear, however, is that Joe Biden is weak in the face of all of this, because he is, in fact, unbelievably weak in the face of all this. So the White House then blasted Trump for saying that Charlottesville was peanuts compared to this. But The White House won't even make clear statements. Joe Biden has made one statement so far, and in that statement, he has condemned the anti-Semitic activities on campus and also condemned people who, quote unquote, don't understand the plight of the Palestinians, which is both sizing it if ever there was some. Meanwhile, they've deployed the second gentleman, Douglas Emhoff, the only Jew they could find, to go speak with the Columbia University Hillel director, along with an Orthodox rabbi affiliated with the school. He called up the Hillel director, Brian Cohen, and Orthodox Union JLIC rabbi, Ellie Buckler, and he recognized that while every American has the right to freedom of speech and to protest peacefully, hate speech and calls for violence against Jews is both anti-Semitic and unacceptable. Let's just be real about this. It wasn't Joe Biden who called. It wasn't Kamala Harris who called. It was Kamala Harris's husband who shows up for asinine announcements about Hanukkah every year. Like, that's the official Jewish emissary, the envoy to the college kids who are Jewish and who are being intimidated off of campus. By the way, it's such, here's the thing, Joe Biden and his campaign, they're morons. You know how many points they could win with the American people for saying people who burn American flags and fly Hamas flags and shout from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free, and shout about the killing of Jews, that those people are disgusting and we don't want their votes? You know how many more votes he would win by doing that? Young people don't even care about this. There is a new poll out from the Harvard Youth Poll 2024, 18 to 29 year olds. Okay, and here is what it finds. By issue, what are the issues that people actually care about? The major issues facing America, which is the most important? At the very bottom of the heap of all the issues, number 16 of 16 is student debt, which Joe Biden has been trying to push out there, right? He's been saying, I'm gonna alleviate all your student debt. Now all the youngs will vote for me. They don't care. They don't care. You, by the way, you want to know why they don't care about their student debt? Their student debt is racking up at a 0.07% interest rate. I mean, like, the interest rates on FAFSA loans are really, really, really low compared to other loans. That is not, and people are paying like $50 a month to pay back their student loans. But put that aside. The second to last issue on the list of concerns for 18 to 29 year olds, according to this Harvard Youth Poll, Israel-Palestine. Only 34% of these people call this a major issue. Only 34%. Among Democrats, only 37%. It is nearly last on the list. And that is where Joe Biden is putting his focus because he has been completely captured by his idiot aides. Meanwhile, by the way, it should be worthwhile noting here that there is in fact a conflict in the Middle East in which Israel is in fact correct and Hamas is in fact wrong. But again, because Joe Biden wants to win those Dearborn, Michigan voters, he keeps trying to both sides it. Despite the fact that apparently yesterday, remember, the United States is idiotically, in asinine fashion, now trying to build a humanitarian aid pier in the Mediterranean. So what happened yesterday? Apparently, terrorists in the Gaza Strip then launched mortars at it. Remember, the claim is that Israel won't allow the aid into Gaza. That's not true. Israel's been allowing hundreds of trucks of aid into the Gaza Strip every day for months. But now, Hamas is literally firing mortars at the humanitarian aid pier because they want the human suffering. They want the Palestinians to suffer specifically so idiots on the left will continue to pretend that it's Israel doing it. UN officials were touring the site with Israeli troops at the time, and they had to be rushed to a shelter by the Israeli troops. So once again, the Israelis protecting the UN and Hamas firing at the UN and the UN targeting the Israelis. Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court, which is just a wretched hive of scum and villainy. Right? Again, the ICC is a pseudo court set up by the United Nations that supposedly has the power of international law behind it. But really what it is it's just a bunch of far left and evil states that combine to target whomever they seek to target in the ICC. It has no real enforcement power unless you can get another one of the states, particularly in Europe, to enforce the rulings of the ICC. They're now attempting to bring individual cases against the Israeli prime minister, the Israeli defense minister, and the head of the Israeli army. So they're literally criminalizing the existence of the state of Israel at the International Criminal Court. The United States should pull its money forthwith. The ICC has always been a stupid idea, just like the UN. Both the ICC and the UN ought to be disbanded. The United States ought to pull all funding from both of those organizations because they are in fact trash. By the way, how do we know they're trash? The United States won't even make itself subject to the ICC. The United States has laws on the books that prevent its military from being dragged into the ICC. Why? Because we're afraid that our generals are going to get called in to the ICC and then arrested. So why the hell are we funding an organization like that? Okay, in just 1 second, we'll get to a possible win at the Supreme Court for the President of the United States. First, As you can tell, I'm on the road right now. Well, last time I had to hold up a picture of our leftist tears tumbler and scold producer Zach for not remembering to bring it. Well, he snapped into action. He drove all the way back to our office to get the tumbler. You can see it. It's now here in person. Well, he still screwed it up. He did not bring the correct black leftist tears tumbler. So here's the one that we actually should have had. That's the one that we're talking about right here. So, you know, nice try, Zach. You know, points for effort. There's only one way to claim yours. You have to become a new Dailywire Plus annual member. Not only does your annual membership bestow upon you unparalleled access to ad-free, uncensored shows from your beloved Dailywire hosts like me, you also have unlimited access to our entire library of on-demand hit movies, documentaries, and groundbreaking series, like my new series, The Divided States of Biden. Get a new Dailywire Plus Insider annual membership, receive one free Tumblr, or really put your money where your values are? Get an all-access membership. Get two Leftist Tears Tumblr absolutely free. Join now as we fight the left and build the future at DailyWirePlus.com. Also, this Sunday, RFK Jr. stops by the Sunday special. Fascinating conversation, a lot to talk about. It gets really colorful. We get into a lot of topics, some of them pretty fraught. Really interesting person, RFK Jr., currently polling the best of any third-party candidates since Ross Perot. Check out some of the trailer.
I believe that every abortion is a tragedy at one level or another.
It's not just a tragedy, it's a crime against the child, because the child has an independent interest. What do you say to that?
The solution of having the state come in and dictate choices that, you know, that the woman is making is not, that's not a good solution to me.
You don't believe that the child has an independent right to life, for example, at any point during the pregnancy?
You know, you and I all differ on that, and that's just a place where I differ, and I understand your position. I have tremendous respect for you for having that kind of, that absolute moral clarity on that position, but I think it's more nuanced and complex than that.
Again, check that out. On Sunday, you can get it Saturday. If you are an all-access member, you can get it a little bit early. It is a fantastic, fantastic episode. Go check it out right now. Meanwhile, Democrats were hoping that Jack Smith's January 6th case was going to take Trump out of contention for the presidency, that they'd get a conviction really quick up in Washington, D.C., and this would allow Donald Trump to be convicted federally, and then he would be in a federal prison for the election. He still has a state trial going on in New York over this dumb hush money case. It really is not a hush money case. It really is just about 2016, because again, hush money is actually not illegal in the United States. People pay hush money all the time. The real question is whether he changed the outcome of the 2016 election illegally by paying hush money to a couple of ladies he had allegedly shtupped. Okay, so that case is still ongoing. But the other case that's very dangerous for him, obviously, is the January 6th case. Well, Jack Smith has brought this case, and the Trump defense suggested that Trump has presidential immunity for his activities leading up to and on January 6th. And the argument basically is you can't prosecute a president after he leaves office, because if you prosecute a president after he leaves office, then you could prosecute him for literally anything. Right? There are many circumstances in which a president does something that if you were not the president, it could have legal ramifications. And if you just start prosecuting presidents post-presidency for things they did while they were president, well, then you're going to create a horrible set of incentive structures. Number one, the president won't be able to do things he actually does need to do. Number two, the president's never going to want to not be president. He's not going to give up that power very easily. The argument that was made by Jack Smith and company is that there is no presidential immunity. Now, where the Supreme Court is likely to land on this case is there is some form of presidential immunity, but only for actions within the scope of presidential duty. That if you're talking about things that are outside the scope of presidential duty, then you could theoretically be prosecuted post-presidency for all of that. Like Richard Nixon could have been prosecuted post-presidency, which is why he needed a pardon after Watergate, for example, because that was done outside the scope of presidential duty. I have a feeling that's where the Supreme Court is going to land, but it's going to take months for the Supreme Court to rule on this case. And that may take us past the election, thereby taking this January 6th case off the table. According to the New York Times, the Supreme Court's conservative majority appeared ready on Thursday to rule that former presidents do have some degree of immunity from criminal prosecution, a move that could further delay the criminal charge against Trump on charges he planned to subvert the 2020 election. Such a ruling would likely send the case back to the trial court, ordering it to draw distinctions between official and private conduct, which, by the way, is the proper and correct answer. And you can see why. So, for example, Justice Samuel Alito, who is the second best justice on the court after Clarence Thomas, He says, if the president doesn't have immunity, then won't you have a problem with presidents never wanting to leave office?
I'm sure you would agree with me that a stable democratic society requires that a candidate who loses an election, even a close one, even a hotly contested one, leave office peacefully if that candidate is the incumbent.
Of course.
All right. Now, if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy?
Alito then made another argument, which was, well, if we are now going to basically say that presidents can be prosecuted for anything they did while they were president, wouldn't that mean, for example, that FDR could have been prosecuted post-World War II for many of the actions that he took during World War II? And the Justice Department actually said yes. They said yes, if there were no presidential immunity at all, that is what the predictable result would be.
Mr. Sauer and others have identified events in the past where presidents have engaged in conduct that might have been charged as a federal crime. And you say, well, no, that's not really true. This is page 42 of your brief. So what about President Franklin D. Roosevelt's decision to intern Japanese Americans during World War II? Couldn't that have been charged under 18 U.S.C. 241, conspiracy against civil rights?
Today, yes, given this court's decision in Trump versus United States, in which Trump versus Hawaii, excuse me, where the court said Korematsu is overruled.
Well, that is going to be a problem. Okay, now, on the other side of the aisle, obviously, you do not want the president to have a complete immunity for anything you might do as president. So, for example, let's say the president orders the assassination of a political rival. That's going to be a problem. So Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she asked that question. She said, well, if the president decides that his rival is corrupt and wants the military to kill him, could he just do that and then be immune for that?
Now, I think, and your answer below, I'm going to give you a chance to say if you stay by it. If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could. And why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain.
Okay, so again, I think that where the Supreme Court is likely to come down on this, they're likely to send this back to a lower court and say, no, there's no such thing as no presidential immunity, but we need to make clear what exactly the rules of presidential immunity are, which, by the way, is the proper response. But on a formal level, what this means is that the January 6th case is going to get kicked beyond the election, which is in fact a legal win for President Trump. Meanwhile, the economy is actually going the wrong way for President Biden. According to the Wall Street Journal, the dream of a Fed rate cut is slipping away. There was an economic report on Thursday. That economic report came in very weak. It showed a 1.6% GDP growth in the first quarter of the year, much weaker than expected. Not only that, inflation continues to accelerate. The annualized GDP chain price, measuring how much prices have gone up or down in the economy, helping to track inflation, actually jumped up to 3.1% from 1.6%. So you're starting to see renewed inflation and worse economic growth, which is precisely what you'd expect to see from an overspending economy. Joe Biden has poured too much money into this economy. Everybody knows it at this point. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, he says, there are long odds now for a soft landing. That is correct. If there's a recession, by the way, before the election, Joe Biden is clearly not going to be reelected.
You yourself sound quite glum in the letter. Can you tell us a bit more about why that is?
So I'm not looking at a year. I'm not making a forecast. I'm trying to say, what are the range of possible outcomes? And last year and this year, I would put out the same issues. Huge amount of fiscal deficit, huge amount of QE, a lot of things in the future inflationary, the green economy, the remilitarization of the world, obviously the deficits, which, you know, basically aren't going to go away as far as the eye can see, and geopolitics. Mm-hmm. All that puts me on the side of caution that things may not go as well as people expect. The odds of a soft landing, the market kind of prices in 70%, I think it's half of that. You know, as a business person, I try to be prepared for all of that. It's just a little cautious.
Again, Joe Biden has run this economy really, really badly. Everybody knows it at this point. It's the reason why he's still struggling in all of the polls. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, are you tired of your favorite cut of beef or chicken costing more but weighing less every time you buy it from the store? Well, Good Ranchers Price Lock Guarantee offers a sizzling solution. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is not just offering a temporary fix, they're offering a long-term solution. They're locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to one of their boxes. GoodRanchers.com is where you can get the most tender meat that is full flavor every single time. With options like beef, chicken, pork, and wild-caught seafood, they have something for even the pickiest of eaters. There's no reason to order takeout when you can make something far better at home. Good Ranchers even offers recipes to take your cooking skills to the next level. With meat prices on the rise and store-bought meat quality on the decline, Good Ranchers Price Shield will not only save you hundreds, but will give you the best 100% American meat you'll ever eat. Right now, when you go to GoodRanchers.com and use promo code Shapiro, you'll get their exclusive price shield and an additional 10% off your order. The offer ends soon. If you want to secure your best price on meat until 2026, go to GoodRanchers.com. Use my code Shapiro. That's GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Shapiro today. Again, GoodRanchers.com. Promo code Shapiro. Well, folks, it is a Friday. You know what that means. It's time to deconstruct some culture. So let's jump right in. Let me remind you, by the way, that we do have a 47-minute review. It's a thing that I did. I listened to the entire Taylor Swift album. It's 2 hours long. So our 47-minute review, you could watch almost three times and still spend about as much time as you would spend listening to Taylor Swift's latest album. Go check that out over at the YouTube. But also, Coachella just ended. I know it's sad. We all wait for it every year. Well, now that Coachella has ended, its second week has come to a close just last weekend. Our Instagram timelines can finally be cleansed of a style that one can only call Bohemian. Style is usually front and center for the music festival. More important than the mostly horrible music from bands that are largely irrelevant. But this year, The Cut has quite a take on the outfits seen in Coachella Valley. Are Coachella outfits becoming too normal? That was their headline. I was getting somewhat excited for this headline. Listen, I don't want to see Vanessa Hudgens dressing up as a bush or something and pretending it's a dress. I've assumed that most Coachella goers just walk into Urban Outfitters preparing and ask, sell me something that makes me look like a dirty homeless person. So I clicked the headline and looked to see if the outfits were too normal. And here are some of the actual photos that accompany the piece. Yes, gang, that's too normal. I mean, this looks like pretty much business attire, right? I think we can all guess the business. Here's another normal look. If you're trying to find the women from Hocus Pocus at a rodeo. Where exactly is the normal? I'm missing it. This one is a little bit more normal. Looks like Dumbs of Anarchy. So good look there. Liking it. It's so normal. So much normality. All these people are going to be applying for jobs at PricewaterhouseCoopers soon. Well, I figured already out what I'm planning on wearing to Coachella. Here's my Coachella normal look. Yep. Although I would never wear a New York Yankees hat. And meanwhile, a source has revealed to Us Weekly in their newest issue that Megan Fox is currently reevaluating her relationship with Machine Gun Kelly, which is interesting because I never evaluated it in the first place. I don't know. If this couple can't make it, can anyone? Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, I thought it was forever. I thought it was cosmic love. The source reported it was getting toxic between them. Wait, no, stop. I don't believe it. That they've been fighting a lot. Wait. You're telling me that Megan Fox and a guy whose name is Machine Gun Kelly, they're fighting a lot? Wow. If only he had been named Peace Kelly or something. She reportedly has told Machine Gun Kelly she wants some space to rethink her decisions, which is a good idea because it appears that Machine Gun Kelly also has some things to rethink. That's not a tattoo, man. That's a skin disease. Did he walk into the tattoo shop and just say, "Give me the venom"? I know that being a white rapper can be difficult. I know, I've been there. It's a rough ride. But I'm not sure about this strategy for avoiding the stigma. I'm also curious about, like, so many elements of what went into the thinking here. First of all, if he went all the way up his face, then he's Justin Trudeau, right? But also, apparently, if you look at this tattoo more closely, I don't know why you would, but we're going to. If you did, you would see that there is a crouching homeless person in the tattoo with a sign that reads, "I want change," on his torso. I mean, I guess that's one way to get what you need at the supermarket. You go into the supermarket, give him a 20. I need change. Also, maybe he's worried about the cost of the breakup. I mean, the only good news about this tattoo is I suppose that you save money on clothing. Meanwhile, everyone's favorite rapping Hitler fan is back in the news. Kanye West, professionally known as Yeezy or Ye or Please Make This Stop, has decided to expand his empire into more than just underwhelming new music and overrated shoes. He is now jumping into the world of adult entertainment. I mean, he was married to Kim Kardashian, so I guess back into the world of adult entertainment. Ye has confirmed reports he is setting up his very own pornography studio, which makes sense. You know, one of the best strategies in business is vertical integration. And since he's been showing pornography to his various advertising partners, he wants to make the thing that he also distributes. He's tired of just making his wives look like porn stars. It appears he is now going to work with actual professionals. He is supposedly teaming up with, of all people, Stormy Daniels' ex-husband to build out this division of his brand. I mean, those are a couple of marriages that have really been solid in every, really, like Stormy Daniels and her husband, Kanye and Kim. Why don't these relationships last forever, guys? So Kanye has gone from making music that's postponed for months to making videos you'll be done with in seconds, depending on who you are. Yay. We all know how this is going to end. Just look between the K and semicolon on your keyboard. That's what you're going to end up in this one. It's an L. Yeah, because of that meme on Twitter. I miss the old Kanye, man, when his wife was just an amateur porn star. Speaking of letters between your keyboard, here's a new segment called The X-Files. Okay, folks, so there is a new trend on Twitter, according to Business Insider. The trend urges users to look between certain letters on your keyboard. Apparently, this originated with a post on 4chan, including a picture of Wee Hirasawa, the main character of a popular anime series. Man, there's so many words here in a row that I don't care about. I don't even know what to do with myself, how little I care about this. Along with the caption, look between T and O on your keyboard, yielding the character's first name. Apparently, people keep doing this now. So people are tweeting out things like, cheaters will tell you they love you. And then their actions tell you to look between H and L on your keyboard because it's JK. The New England Patriots said, want to know who we're drafting? Look between H and L on your keyboard. Again, JK. But others have decided, wow, this is what a stunning, absolutely stunning trend. So intelligent. Look between Y and I on your keyboard. That's all I want. It's the letter U. To my homies who stuck by my side, look between R and U on the keyboard because it's T-Y. Thank you. Well, if you want to know what I think about all of this, look between D and G on your keyboard. It's F. I hate all of this. I hate all of it. It's stupid. All of this is dumb. You're not clever. You're just stupid. You realize how we've degraded as a society? We actually went from writing hieroglyphics on a wall to human words to actual plays of Shakespeare. And now we are back at emojis. And now we are losing the ability to speak language. So what a great trend. I'm so glad that we're... Yes, our society deserves everything that it gets, probably. In other Twitter news, apparently, Ben Collins, you remember him? He used to be a fake reporter for one of the big news networks, and he spent pretty much every waking moment saying dumb stuff. Well, now he and his friends have apparently bought and run The Onion. They announced this on Twitter. What's funny about all of that is that he very famously, with all of his friends, left Twitter for another site called Mastodon That lasted for 5 seconds, and now he is back on Twitter announcing it, as one would after being a giant failure. He also happens to be the world's most unfunny human being. So, so credits to McGill's for this fake Onion headline. Man with no sense of humor inadvertently does the funniest thing. That's pretty much it. I'm going to put it out there. Maybe the Babylon Bee actually did this, and they are pretending right now to be Ben Collins. That is the only explanation. Alrighty, guys, the rest of the show is continuing right now. We'll be joined on the line by Luke Rosiak. He has a brand new story out. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro. Check out for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click the link in the description and join us. Did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, the heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. This can sometimes be a baby's only defense in the womb, because when moms who are considering abortion hear that baby's heartbeat via ultrasound, they're twice as likely to choose life. Preborn rescues 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing moms with ultrasounds. By 6 weeks, a baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby's elbows and knees are able to bend. Preborn needs your help to save these precious lives. Preborn is out there on the front lines. They're helping women choose life. Please consider sponsoring one ultrasound for just $28 and save a life today. Or if you have the means, consider a leadership gift of $5,000. That tax-deductible gift will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours and help rescue 200 innocent lives. Go to preborn.com/Ben to donate today. It's the most important thing you're going to do today, maybe ever, because saving lives doesn't get more important than that. Go to preborn.com/Ben. These ultrasounds are, in fact, life-saving. Moms meet their babies long before they're born. When they meet their baby, it makes it a lot harder for them to get an abortion. Go to preborn.com/Ben or dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby.